Hello, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the Green Room Podcast. I'm Matthew Bruni, and joining me once again is Colin Mitchell, fresh off of the storm that hit North Texas. How are you doing?
Good. It's been a couple days, but good.
Yeah, I just, you know, I know it hit you pretty hard.
I did have to take cover.
You had to take cover? What does that mean? You're in a house.
Yeah, houses get destroyed by tornadoes.
So how did you take cover?
You're supposed to get in the smallest, like a closet in the center of your house. And they tell you to put a mattress over you, but I put a couch cushion. Really concerned for the dogs more than I am myself. So I just made sure to get them in the laundry room, and then I kind of hung out outside of there. Okay. So then in case a tornado was coming, I wouldn't have to like pick up the dogs. You know what I mean? So preemptively, prepping, you know?
Smart. Very smart. Colin cares about his pets. Good job. Good job.
If I'm anything, I'm a dog.
If nothing else, he's a good pet owner, guys. I promise you. I promise you. It's enough small talk, Colin.
Okay. Enough small talk. Sorry.
Let's talk about what we're here to talk about, all right? North Texas loses to FAU 77-71 in the second round of the AAC tournament. Or I guess technically the quarterfinal round. It comes off of a win over Tulane, 81-71, where Aaron Scott played 9 minutes and left. He had to go to the hospital. It's, you know, just another curveball thrown at this team where it's like, all right, what's his status? And I went into the game yesterday against FAU fairly confident. I just felt like the last four times they played, and we talked about this last podcast, it's like the last four times they played, I felt like North Texas could have won those games. I felt like North Texas played well enough to win a lot of those games. And that's been the story for a lot of the season, is it's played well enough to win, it just hasn't won. And it was pretty much the same story that it's been all season, I think, last night, in that North Texas hung around in the first half, which, you know, a lot of the season has been strong first halves, weak second halves. And the first half, I don't think North Texas played that well, was down 5. And then second half, they come out, hit 2 threes right off the bat, take the lead, and kind of had the lead up until they had the lead for a while.
It was until Ruben got his fourth foul.
Ruben got his fourth foul. So whatever,
there was 4 minutes, or it was just before, so it was like 6 minutes left in the game, and they went on like a 2 minute, like incredible run to go up.
And North Texas couldn't score at that point, and somebody tweeted at me, it was like, I'm tired of these North Texas droughts. I was like, you need Ruben in the game, and Ruben checks in the game, and then he gets to the rim and scores on a layup on the next possession. It's like, then he fouled out.
Yeah.
And the offense once again died, and FAU scores 77 points, and this North Texas defense is very good, but FAU's offense, as we know over the years, is one that can score 70 points on anybody, and it ends up being a 77-71 loss. I don't know where to start exactly. But I was wrong in that I thought North Texas was and could win this game. I think for me, they have now lost to this FAU team 5 times. I know North Texas had 2 different iterations, but this is the same FAU team as last year. Mm-hmm. You've now lost to them 5 times in a row. I don't care what the margins are. You've been swept.
Yeah.
North Texas is not better than this FAU team. FAU is the superior team. It has better scores. It has more consistent players. And obviously it has the cohesion that North Texas lacks. FAU's played 2 full seasons together. To my account, hardly had injuries, really, for the most part. Let me just look through their games played this year. Jonelle, 32. Vlad, 32. Martin, 32. Yeah, Gaffney, 32. Greenlee, 32. So, again, you're playing with a team against a team that's had 2 full years of getting things right. And North Texas this year, obviously with the turnover from last year, but this year, new coach, new team, and that team that we had hoped they would be never really saw the court together. And I think Tulane was another example of that with Aaron going down. And then FAU, you're like, all right, we have all the pieces. Can they do it? And they didn't. They lost. So, I mean, it's disappointing, yes, and we'll talk about that in more depth. But just as far as a game goes, FAU swept North Texas. This year, 3-0. Last year, 2-0. That's a sweep. You know, you're a Pistons fan, Colin. You know what those are like.
Thanks. That's a sweep. We've been swept out of the league for like the last 12 years. So
yes, but I'm saying, you know, the last time y'all made it, you got swept too.
Thanks.
But like, it's a sweep. So congratulations to FAU moving on. I hope they win the tournament. I hope they make it all the way and have a nice run in the NCAA tournament, because that's a really, really good team. And that's why we both said if they beat FAU, they can win this tournament. FAU is the biggest hurdle for them. And we didn't even know Charlotte was going to lose to Temple the next game, which adds even more salt to the wound.
Yeah, speaking of which, yeah, Charlotte's not as good as you thought they were, huh? That's I'm never letting that go.
I had North Texas beating them, so
I don't. After I convinced you,
but it does all that matters is what I put down on the paper. So
yeah,
but yeah, Charlotte ends up losing to Temple the next game. Where do you want to start? What are your thoughts?
I think I guess we start at the beginning. I mean, you already kind of knew how this game was going to go when the first two shots you take are both threes and they go in and out, and you're like, oh, this can't happen today.
Nope.
And throughout the whole game, you kind of see that. I mean, Jason scored 26 points, but he was 2 of 10 from the field.
No, he was 2 of 10 from 3.
Or from 3 is what I meant, sorry. 2 of 10 from 3, 8 of 22 from the field. You get out-rebounded what felt like incredibly bad in the first half, at least on the offensive boards. I don't know if that's true, but the second chance points I felt were, yeah, I mean, FAU had 17 second chance points. North Texas had 6. North Texas just felt like they got out physical in a game where they normally out physical the other team. And that obviously wore on them. Aaron only got 4 shots this game, no threes, shot 1-3. And at the end of the game, when you kind of have a chance, you get more rim out threes. Jason, rim out 3 from the top of the key, which would have cut it to, I think, 3. And you only had like 30 seconds left, but there's life there. And as a team, we all know, since Grant, if this team doesn't shoot, you know, more than 35% from 3, you're probably not going to have a good chance of winning a game against a good team. And they shot 33%. So could this team have won? Yes, I think they could have. They played a better second half, in my opinion. But you're not going to overcome, unless you hit big shots, a John L. Davis, a Vlad Goldin, when you're outmatched inside, and especially when you're in foul trouble. That was the storyline going into the game. We brought up Aaron Scott. He had 3 fouls at half. Ruben didn't have any, I think, at half, and then he somehow fouls out. Let me see. I don't think he had any at half.
I can't check that.
Yeah, he had none at half. He had none at half. Fouls out with 5, and CJ had 4 fouls. So small things that have kind of plagued this team throughout the year, again, bit them. And that's just kind of all you can say. And then FAU hit big shots.
The big shots thing is where I think we could stay for a second, because that's what North Texas was over the past 4 years with Javion and Tyler, right? It was big shots. Just remember, even Kai hit that game one against La Tech. Like, they were a big shot-making team, because every big game felt like it was close. Like, they would grind you down, and then Javion floater or Tyler Perry 3, or they just make those winning plays. This year, we've talked about this before, they haven't made those key winning plays, whether it's a shot, whether it's a stop. You know, John L. Davis hits the 3. Like, those plays didn't happen in years past. I'm not saying they didn't lose games. They lost games, but they didn't lose games in this way repeatedly to where, like you said, a 3 rims out with 30 seconds left, or a 3 rims out with 2 minutes left, and you're like, damn, they needed that. Like, they needed that. It always felt like they got that in years past against Wisconsin in the NIT, against, you know, obviously Purdue in the NCAA tournament. Like, go down to Western Kentucky, Drez hits a 3. Like, those moments are in our brain as big shots. What big shots did North Texas hit this year that come to mind? Like the SMU win, maybe? The win over SMU is the only close win they have this year. Like, that's the only one game I can think of where you're like, oh, I remember them being some big shots there and they won the game. Cool. But like, you know, Memphis, they kept him at arm's reach most of the time. If they had control of the game, great. It's when they're in a dogfight and, you know, with St. John's or Boise and they're looking for that, not even haymaker, but like that big play that can swing momentum or win them the game. They never really made that play.
That's a really good point, actually, that you had. SMU being one of the only games that they had. You had three games.
And ECU. ECU.
Yeah, ECU. You had ECU.
Where Robert Allen finished the layup. That's the one shot. But again, that's not even like a shot.
But again, that's like a fluky. Not. Yeah. I mean, it's a fluky play.
No, it's fluky.
So you have the 60-59 win. You have the 68-66 win against SMU. And then you have a four-point win against Tulane. If you want to count that as, I mean, those are your three closest games. The other ones are 10 or more.
Pretty much, yeah. I mean, Northern Iowa.
Yeah, I mean, they're all 10 or more. Every other win is 10 or more.
Besides
Except
Northern
for
Iowa,
your first game, Northern Iowa. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean.
What do you think Texas is in luck rating right now? Let's see.
It's got to be last. It's got to be dead last.
Feels like it's last at this point.
They were 359 last time.
Yeah, they dropped down to 360. Dropped down to 360.
But you make a good point there. I think this team has shot makers. I mean, Jason, obviously 2-10 from three, but he's hit big shots. Ruben's hit big shots. I think the difference is that when you're a team trying to find a new identity throughout the year, like to start the season,
yeah,
it was Ruben, Aaron. Those are the, and you saw it against St. John's. They went to Aaron for the last shot. Aaron's shots throughout the year have obviously gone down. He only had four shots last night. If you were to play FAU at the beginning of the season, he probably gets 10, 12 shots. So I think figuring that out, and then also, again, this team is, you still got Aaron and Ruben, but this team is basically a bunch of new people who, for lack of a better term, I guess, just have to gel more. You know what I mean? Like, CJ wasn't good. He started hitting bigger shots, but you still don't really have an identity when you have everyone injured throughout the whole season.
Yeah. How many games did they play with all eight players that played last? Like that,
and that's not to say that they can't hit big shots, because Bugs has hit big shots too. It's just so when they come.
I think Bugs, honestly, like if you're taking like, you know, who feels like a big shot maker, Bugs feels like one.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'd probably go like CJ Nolan or something like that. Like those that like for a big shot maker, like, and they didn't even, you know, Bugs hit a few big shots throughout the year, but they always felt like he was the momentum shifter. Like, if he hit a couple threes, he was the one swinging the pendulum. They didn't have those type of plays too often, at least not late in games that would won them the game. I mean, you always felt like they were missing something that could put the game away, and that's what hurt. I think, to a bigger point as well, you kind of mentioned it, but FAU, 17 second chance points. I think Robert Allen and Sissoko are fine players, but they're not to the caliber of center that North Texas had in the past 5 years. Like, it's Zachary Simmons to Abu are both significantly better. And like, they tried piecing it together because Mulai is big, right? But not as technically skilled. Allen is technically skilled, but not as big.
Mm-hmm.
So they tried figuring out that combination, how they were going to do it. And there's just not a good combination when you're going against Golden. And honestly, they rotate other bigs in. Rosado's a big, Laurent's a big. Like, they had enough bodies to throw at North Texas to where it felt like everything was a battle. And North Texas did not want to give up threes, and they did a great job of that. Held FAU to 3-12 shooting from three. Like, that was clearly the game plan. But, you know, as a counter, FAU got to the line 34 times. As a counter, FAU had 17 second chance points. As a counter, Golden had 21 points and 10 rebounds and just kind of dominated our fives. The five position, to me, is like, that's the one you wish they had Abu. You wish they had Zach or something like that. Like, that's kind of the difference in great North Texas teams. And maybe that's why they couldn't close games late. Maybe, you know, there's a lot of different, I don't want to blame it just on Jason or just on Robert Allen or just on Aaron or anything like that. Like, it's a team effort. It just felt like they should have been able to figure it out at some point, and they never did. Like, I was waiting for that breakthrough, and it just never came. And
I mean, both of us said after everyone came back, we're like, oh, okay, this team's gonna be really good. Then they won a game and lost a game. We're like, oh, you know, I don't know. It's gonna be interesting to see what happens going into next year. Because I don't believe
you want to move into that already. Do you have anything else on the game?
I mean, I don't really know what else is to say.
Okay, look here, I'll run it down real quick. Aaron was disappointing, but I think he wasn't disappointing.
Although, I mean, this is disappointing how, though?
We talked about it last podcast. He needs to be able to do more off the dribble. He's not like they reverted him to what Thomas Bell was. The back down, the dribble down.
Yeah.
That's what they started doing with Aaron Scott. And it worked like once or twice, but it didn't work consistently.
I'd be interested to see on off splits with him off the court and on the court. Obviously, he's plus defender. I'm not trying to say that he's not, and he's good on the court. But I felt like when they had four guards out there, stuff moved a lot better. And defensively, it's going to be way tougher on North Texas if you play the four guards. But I felt like offensively that just helped a lot, because toward the end of the game where they were doing, like you said, the dribble downs, I was pulling my hair out.
It was reverting back to that year 2 years ago or 3 years ago when they had just had Thomas Bell.
Yeah.
Kind of. I think it was the first year of Tyler Perry, and they just had Thomas Bell backing people down for 16 seconds in the possession. Like, that's what it felt like, because nobody else could do anything with the bounce here. And honestly, I think there was just some indecision by everybody, including Hodge, being like, how do we manage a close game late when we have all of our pieces? Because when Ruben and CJ were out, it was clearly Edwards. You know, when Aaron was out, it was Edwards or Bugs, like, or it was just Aaron early in the season. Like, it's gone through so many stages of trying to figure out this team that I don't think this team ever reached this potential.
Yeah, I agree with that.
And that's sad. And I think, you know, everybody plays a part in that. I'm not absolving, you know, Ross from the mistakes or the losses late in games. I'm not absolving anybody, but it's like, just, that's just the truth of the season, was they never came together as a team and never figured out what worked and what didn't in these close games. So it sucks, because like I said, I think a fully healthy North Texas team goes at least 12-6 in conference. I think therefore, obviously, they would have had an easier draw. They could have played Charlotte or something in the quarters. But here we are instead. They play FAU in the quarters, and, you know, the season ends, at least for the moment. So yes, Aaron, a little disappointing. Jason, like you said, just he has to make those shots. And that's where I feel like Tyler made those shots. And we've talked about it before. I think Jason's a more explosive scorer. He's, you know, better overall scorer than Tyler was.
I don't think Jason
was making those shots.
I think Jason still hit big shots. They just weren't threes.
He had his moments. I don't think he was very good last night.
I mean, I don't think it was like a,
and I think he'll tell you
Edwards game. Yeah, no, I mean, I agree with that. But I mean, I think it's unfair to say that he didn't hit big shots, because a lot of the times when North Texas had nothing, he was able to just kind of run past somebody and get a layup.
Yeah, or get to the line. He got to the line 10 times. So yeah, I give him credit there. I think we covered all of our bases with this team. That's a tough loss in the year 18-14 to Notre Dame conference. But now we can – do you want to look ahead? Okay, here's the first question. Before we look ahead to the off season, I think there is a non-0% chance they are invited to the NIT.
Non-0% chance they are invited.
So I think there's a possibility that they're invited to the NIT. Right now, I don't think they're in the NIT, like, bracketology or whatever it's called. But I think we've seen three teams already say that they're not playing in it. It's like Memphis said they're not playing, Indiana said they're not playing, and Ole Miss said they're not playing. I think there'll be more opt-outs because unlike years past, I don't know anybody who knows this, but the NIT is still a 32-team bracket, but now it's taking the top six leagues, the top two teams that don't make it to the NCAA tournament automatically get bids to the NIT. So that's 12 of the 32. I think other teams will kind of decline some invites. So my question is, if North Texas, if you get an invite, do you think they take it?
I was thinking about this last night, and I feel like I'd lean no that they won't. And that, I don't know why, it's a feeling to me. I feel like if you go back, like, you're champions, you went 2 years ago as well, and you don't win, obviously. Yeah. And I think now if you go, it's like, I don't think the motivation would be there from maybe as a team. And I could be completely wrong on that. But I remember last year, Grant was saying, you know, it was hard to get guys to want to go to it because they just, you know, suffered the conference tournament loss, and you're just like, well, okay, I guess we'll get up for this tournament. And then he was able to, you know, get them ready for it. Yeah, and
Abu doesn't play in it.
Yeah, Abu doesn't play. Like, guys are like, okay, I guess. So I don't know if you do that again in a year that was already hard anyways, and then you end on a very sour note, losing to an FAU team that you lose five times in a row. I don't know if you'd really want to. Now, that's not to say I wouldn't want them to do it, but I don't know. I don't know if that's the... Like, I don't know what you have to gain, I guess.
So I think you make a good point in that you've played in it 2 years in a row now. If you continue to play in it, are you, fairly or not, are you saying this is what we are? Like, if you continue to play in it, if you say, yes, we're just going to, you're playing it, letting you play in it four straight years, are you just said kind of conceding at all? This is what we are.
I don't think you're conceding that's what you are, because I think, if they're playing more basketball and most, I mean, all this team can come back next year if they want to, just to, you know, gain whatever. But I don't think if you play this tournament that you gain anything as a program. Like, you can't get a better accolade than winning it last year, right? Yeah. And what would probably be a stronger tournament last year. And then if you go back this year again, I don't like you saying that this is what we are, because I don't think that going back would mean that. But I think it's, what do you have to gain as a program? Like, this team's been there, has won there.
Exactly.
You need to think ahead now. You need to think about winning the conference again.
Yes. I think, and let me be clear, I would love it if they played in the NIT.
Yeah.
And I think everyone would. I don't think there is any shame whatsoever in playing in the NIT. Now, you know, there are teams that maybe opt out that think they're too good for this. Maybe, sure, whatever. I'll tell you what, there's a lot of teams that I think will enter this tournament looking to, like, if SMU, for instance, SMU, I think, will enter this, will look to play in this and try to win it. Rob Lanier's second year coach, they had a, you know, bounce back kind of year. They had a strong season. They've ended, obviously, losing, what, five of the last six or something like that. Mm-hmm. I think a team like SMU wants to come in and do it. But SMU didn't win it last year. You know, that's the thing. It's like North Texas won it last year. And it's like, it's a lot. It's not the same team, but it is some of the same pieces. Like, could you really convince those guys to, like, I mean, Aaron Scott and Ruben, I guess, primarily, do they want to play in it?
Well, here,
because I think it's honestly, I think it's up to them.
Well, here it is too, is if you go back, what are the expectations? What if you get bounced in the first round and then you're like, well, that wasn't worth it. If you get bounced in the second round, is it worth it? You know what I mean? Anything short of, in my head, if you go to this thing and you don't make the semis, then it's just like the rest of the year disappointment, because these teams are going to be like the teams you've lost to throughout the year, close games.
I agree, but I don't know if you can think that way in sports. Like, you can't not play things on the fear of losing.
Right. Well, I guess I don't mean it that way. I mean, like, if you go and on the chance that you do get bounced, right. I don't think you have enough to gain, is what I mean.
I agree. But also, are we sure about that? If they play, like, they're going to play at, so the way that it works is these, which it's been completely just BS'd, but the automatic bids, which are from the Power Six or the high major conferences, they host, those 12 mm-hmm. teams host the first round games and then the second round games. So you're going to Utah. You're going to Ohio State. You're going to Iowa or something like that. I think a win over any of those teams, UCF, LSU, Pitt, like I'm just going down the list right now. Like a win over any of those teams to me would be substantial. And I think as like fans, we would love it. And I think as a team, if they beat UCF on the road, or if they beat Pitt on the road, I think that would be pretty substantial. And you start getting that like feeling back of like, okay, this is what this team could have been, because we still don't know what this team could have been if it was full strength, full go for the whole time.
Right.
Now, I think a lot of teams are going to opt out because I think a lot of teams want to get a jump on the portal.
Mm.
I think a lot of teams want to, will either have or fear having opt outs and losing immediately, like you said, or they're just going to get started on the portal in the offseason. So I don't know I don't think there's a right answer here. I'm okay with Ross, whatever he decides. I would think as Ross, you're a first year head coach, I would think he would want to play in it, but I think it's up to the players, honestly. Like, how many opt-outs are you going to have? Does Ruben and Aaron want to play in it? Like, those are my questions immediately. Yeah. If Ruben and Aaron want to play in it, I think you play it.
It'll be great for Ruben to possibly, hopefully not, get one more win, you know?
Yeah. Again, because they can beat any of these teams in the NIT. Like, obviously, we saw it last year with Wisconsin, Oklahoma State, whatever. These are not, like, the teams that – I mean, these teams are not better than FAU.
Oh, flat. Yeah. Of course not.
So, they're not in the tournament. We already saw them play LSU this year. Like, if they played LSU again, I'd probably take them to win, or at least it'd be a very good game. Like, those are the games you're in. I don't know. I feel like it couldn't hurt. And also, as a program, if we just go big picture here, it's like, as a program, you want to be in the spotlight as much as you can if you're North Texas. And if you win a game in the NIT and you're in the second round, you get more eyeballs on you. If you make it to the third round, you get more eyeballs on you. Yeah. It's like, I think there is some value to that. And I don't know if North Texas is good enough to pass up on the opportunity to get more eyeballs on it.
That's a good point. That's fair enough.
All right. Assuming, or not even assuming, with or without the NIT, you mentioned it. How many players are out of eligibility, I guess? Because Ruben, nobody. I think, technically has another year, because 2021 was a COVID year. I don't know. Look, I think everybody across the country, every team across the country is going to lose someone to the transfer portal. And we don't need to speculate who that is or who that could be. Whether that's, you know, go down the list, if it's a bench player, if it's a starter, I don't know. But I think, yeah, because it's junior, Robert Allen's out of eligibility, first of all.
Oh, yeah.
I think everyone assumes,
though, that he's out of eligibility because dude's been in the league for
Robert
7 years.
Robert Allen is out of eligibility. Everybody else has at least 1 year left. Bugs, who's been on 4 different teams.
So you'll know this more than me. Yeah, he's another year.
Okay.
Because of the COVID year.
UMass. He redshirted UMass. Okay. Yeah. Redshirted UMass, then COVID year, then played 3 years, and now he has one more.
You'll know this better than me. Wasn't there a rule where they can't transfer twice after they transferred already now?
Yeah, they got rid of it.
I thought it was just for this season that they got rid of it.
No, they got rid of it. The NCAA is big picture. I mean, non-related to this at all. The NCAA is just
– it's cooked.
They're screwed. Yeah. Because they're trying to – long story short, nothing they do holds up in court, because the NCAA is saying that they're not professionals. You know, they're not, professionals. So everybody else, the court system is kind of saying, all right, well, why are there non-competes in place if they're not professionals?
You know,
why are – they being restricted from movement if they're not professionals? So eventually we're going to have to wear their employees and, you know, 2-year deals or 3-year, whatever it is, out of high school, and you go from there. But yes, at the moment, NCAA has zero power right now. People can move whenever they want, however they want. So
who do you think, let's just go down the list and we'll just be like, good idea to move, bad idea to move from their perspective. Obviously North Texas wants everyone back. And I want
everyone back. I think Jason, I think, should come back. I think he has more on the plate, a lot more on the plate here. I think he can be better than what he was this year. Also, small guards at the high major level, it's tough. That's really, really tough.
Well, with any team, too, it's like you have the role here. There's no guarantee you have the same role.
No. Somewhere I mean, else. Even, you know, and Tyler Perry has had a good year at Kansas State. Kansas State's going to miss the tournament, and he's, like, not nearly putting up the numbers that he had at North Texas. So you're essentially in the same position that you were, you know, last year at North Texas, except you're not putting up the numbers. So it's like, all right, like, do you want to do that? I think Jason Edwards coming back is smart. CJ, I think he's already seen the Big 12 and the high major. I think he would be wise to come back, especially after missing some of the season. I think he could be a lot better next year. Like CJ Nolan.
I mean, we kind of saw him turn it on the last half. I mean, right before he got injured up until now. Yeah. He's been a lot better of a player than when the season first started.
Ruben and Aaron, I'm going to group together. That's up to them.
Yeah, I agree.
They've given so much to this program, kind of like Tyler, right? In the sense that you've given three, in Ruben cases, 4 years to North Texas. If you want to get a fresh start, I wouldn't be mad.
Here's the thing about Aaron, too, is that he can legitimately be – I mean, obviously, we've given him, you know, criticism, but it's because we know that next year he could probably be a first-round pick if he has a good year.
If he improves his game the way we hope that he can improve his game, I hope he can, you know.
I mean, defensively, he's already there.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's not a question at all.
Yeah, if they want to move on, I have no problem with that. Would love them back, though, obviously. Just throwing that out there. Allen's out of eligibility. Sissoko needs to come back and just round out his game. Just round it out. I'm confident of him being better next year than he was this year.
Yeah.
And if he's better next year, then I think you do have a solid starting center. I still think you need a second guy to come in and kind of fill in the holes, but Sissoko, I would feel great about if he came back.
I think just a side note here, I think if anything, the Americans shown us that you need to have you can't get away with being undersized in this league that well.
And the thing is, Robert Allen was good.
Yeah, no, he was really good.
Robert Allen is like the best case scenario because he offensive rebounded at his crazy, crazy rate. He was the fourth best offensive rebounder in the country.
Yeah.
Like, if you're going to go get that, sure. Like, if you're going to go get Draymond Green, you know, or something like that, like a 6'8 guy that can rebound or, you know, defend at that level, sure. But those don't grow on trees, you know.
Right.
So you need to go get a 7-footer.
Like yesterday, when Sissoko had to come out and you had Robert in, Vlad was clearly just off of height.
Yeah.
I mean, that was just the issue.
Yeah. I mean, he's 4 inches taller than him.
Yeah, so and that same difference. Thing happened against UAB as well.
Yeah. So, again, ideally you go get a 6'10", 6'11 guy to help place him. John Bugs, I think he likes it here. I think he should come back.
I love John Bugs.
We fan favorite John Bugs. We all love John Bugs. Hope he comes back. Think he would be great if he came back. Would be a full-time starter. Get a lot of shots up. You know, he's 7th in the country in true shooting percentage.
Well, he's had so many games where he's been like 4 or 5, 4 or 4.
I know. It helps. And it ends the year 47% from three on 110 attempts.
Like, and what's crazy is those weren't like a lot of those are contested looks that are just like you said, momentum shifters.
Shot 15 2-point shots the entire year.
Incredible. Incredible.
Rondell Walker is an interesting case to me, but I think he knows what he is right now.
Yeah.
He's not playing at a high major. So unless if he wants a bigger role somewhere, maybe. Like, I don't know. If he wants to go to another good mid-major program and maybe start or something there, maybe I could see it. But I think he would have a more substantial role next year with his defense especially if they do lose Aaron or anybody. Stone, it's up to him. I think his role is pretty defined as eighth and ninth man on a North Texas program. Like,
yeah,
he'll be the eighth or ninth man on any top 75 team, like, or not any top 75 team, but like on a mid-major top 75 team, like North Texas, FAU,
right?
And unless UAB, you know, Charlotte, USF, but like, I think maybe it's up to him if he wants more than that or not. So we'll see. And that's it. Well, Christian Moore, I hope Christian comes back because we need him. Or we not. Forget
about all the, we forget about all the younger guards.
Yeah, Christian Moore, Grayson Allo.
There's a guy from Hebron. I forgot his name.
I'm probably blanking as well. But, yeah, I think for the most part, a lot of them would do – like, the good thing about having drop-downs, and I don't use that in a pejorative sense, but, like, drop-downs in C.J. Nolan and Rondell Walker and even, like, Robert Allen, even though he's gone, and, like, they know what it is, right? They know what they're in for. They know what they're signed up for. You don't have the guys that are like have a good freshman year and then say, oh, I want to see what I'm doing, you know, in the Pac-12 or not Pac-12, Big 10 or something like that now. So I think that is the positive of having, you know, CJ and Rondell, and they've been great. So I hope they come back and, you know, play it out. Overall on the year, mm-hmm. How are we describing it? They end 107th in offense, 38th in defense, 360th in tempo. I will say the biggest difference, just looking through, scrolling through the years, is the defensive rebounding, which, again, kind of speaks to, you know, your front court a little bit. 310th in defensive rebounding rate. In the years past, they haven't been worse than, like, 150, I don't think. So that's kind of the biggest
difference. I think, too, is guard rebounding in the past has been a lot better as well.
Which is weird. But, yeah, Kai.
Like, Ryan. Remember Ryan? Got Kai.
Javion,
yeah.
Reese, like, yeah. So that is an interesting point there, and that's something Ross is going to have to evaluate over the offseason, is how they get back to being a good rebounding team. Because this year they were good offensive rebounding, but defense rebound, they were atrocious. Also getting to the free throw line more next year. They're 288th in free throw attempt rate. In years past, they've been 196 last year, 25th the year before, and yeah, around 200 before that. So I think there's a lot of work for Ross to do. I think he did a very solid job this year. Like, if we're grading Ross this year, I'd give him probably like a B to a B plus, considering the injuries.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I think a B to B plus. I think the injuries help, obviously, toward his rating or ranking, I guess, or whatever you want to call it. And then also the expectations going into this season. I know they were only ranked, what was preseason 6.
What were our expectations going into this season?
I think to continue the rise of North Texas basketball and whatever that looks like, right? And I don't know if it – I think in terms of the talent on the roster that's gone up, but obviously you want to make it further than this. So in terms of the results, yeah, it's not great. And you didn't beat FAU, but I think with what you had and the circumstances you had them in, you overachieved in a certain sense.
Conference play, I think, went about as well as you could expect with Ruben playing. Like,
especially with a 5-1 start.
Yeah, like, I think conference play, I have no problem with them going 10-8, considering the injuries, Ruben, CJ, whatnot.
Bugs as well.
Yeah, the non-conference to me is where you're disappointed, I think, with the season. Like, you shouldn't have lost to Fordham, and you should have won one of those other games against Boise, LSU, or St. John's. Like, if that happens, honestly, we're probably looking at this. I mean, we're definitely looking at them being, like, in the NIT or being, like, a top 60 team and 65 team in the country if they win those games. But, you know, another year of being top 75, I want to stress, don't take this for granted. And I know this year was disappointing. This year was one of the more disappointing years, I think, in all of, you know, even if you go back, it's probably the most disappointing year since they lost they didn't win the conference, which was 2019, technically. Like, it's probably the most disappointing since then. But don't take for granted being a top 75 team. Don't take for granted Having, you know, getting 18 wins, I think, you know, they didn't get to that 20 number that we like, but don't take that for granted. And being competitive and being seen as one of the top mid-majors, I think, even in the American and in the country. And now next year, I think there is a lot more pressure to not just be a top 75 team, but to put yourself in contention to win against Boise, against, you know, maybe beat Mississippi State, even though I think Mississippi State's damn good, like St. John, so on and so forth, and then have a good conference run and try to stay healthy and build depth. I think I said this before, Ross proved to me this year he's capable of building a roster that can win the conference, because I think this roster at full strength could have potentially won the conference, whether that's tournament or regular season. But now it's just about figuring out how to win close games, how to defensive rebound, you know, all of the little things. And that's what this offseason is going to be for Ross. So whether they play in the NIT or not, I think that's kind of got to be the focus.
For sure. And to your point, I mean, look at Wichita State. Used to be on top of the world in terms of mid-major basketball. And now they are not that anymore. So,
except for when they play Memphis.
Well, yeah, shout out. Hey, if you want to talk about a program that's fallen off a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. We could be Memphis. We could be Memphis.
Now, here's the thing. Would you rather be Memphis this year?
No.
Just kidding.
No. 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 I'm so happy that they suck. Yeah. Gosh, what a great.
We got Penny in the pit, a win, and Memphis getting knocked out by a 12 seed. Amazing. Incredible.
I love it. All right. We will see if North Texas makes the NIT or not. But yeah, we're planning on doing some football stuff next week, so stay tuned for that. We appreciate all y'all for joining us. Leave us a like, comment, share, subscribe to the YouTube if you haven't already. Follow us on Twitter. I think we're at 5-something followers.
518.
518. I've been running the Twitter the past couple of days, in case y'all haven't noticed.
Yeah, it's I'm working spicy. A lot, so
it's been spicy. All right, don't come.
You can't come at Bruni. Not even come at Bruni. You can't do anything to Bruni.
Can't be an idiot. Don't be an idiot when coming at Bruni. How about that?
Dang.
So yeah, you'll know if it's me on the Twitter.
I'm kind
of. I get to revert back to my high school days of just, and college days, I guess, of just going at people. Good fun. It's good fun. But yeah, that's all we got for y'all today. Hope y'all enjoyed it. Hope Colin's yard gets better, but we'll keep you updated on that. All right. See y'all.